Well, thank you, Lord.
Tack, Herre.
Well, it is great to be with you tonight, all the way from Orlando, Florida.
Det är flott att få vara samman med er här ikväll. Jag kom helt från Orlando i Florida.
Our weather is a little bit different than yours is.
Vårt väder är lite annorlunda än deras.
But I don't know that Orlando is any more lovely than your country.
Men jag ser inte att Orlando är vackrare än deras land.
What an absolutely beautiful place you get to live in.
Vilket skönt ställe där får lov att bo på.
And it's an honor for me to be here.
Och det är en ära för mig att få vara här.
I have a burden for Norway.
Jag har en byrde för Norge.
I want you to know that it quite surprised me.
Det överraskade mig.
Since I live in the Orlando area,
siden jeg bor I Orlando-området,
it is not unusual for us to have people come and visit who live in other places.
Så er ikke det uvanlig at det kommer folk på besøk til oss som bor på andre steder.
We have people come from the UK.
Vi har folk som kommer fra England.
We have people come from South America.
Folk som kommer fra Sør-Amerika.
And we even have people who come from Norway.
Og vi har til og med folk som kommer fra Norge.
And my dear friend.
Och min gode vän
and his family
och hans familj.
They came to Orlando for vacation.
De kom till Orlando för att ha ferie.
And I did not realize but they had been coming there for some number of years.
Och jag visste inte det men de hade rest dit I flera år.
Now I planted a little church near the area where they come.
Jag har plantat en liten menighet I området där som de reser till.
It's a little baby church.
Det är en liten babymenighet.
I didn't think I'd be starting a baby church at this time in my life.
Jag trodde inte jag skulle lägga en sån menighetsbaby I detta tidspunkt I livet mitt.
But I'm starting a baby church.
Men jag har startat en sån babymenighet.
And I'm having lots of fun.
Och jag har det väldigt käckt.
Aren't you glad you can have fun doing the things of God?
Är du glad för att du kan ha det gøy när du gör det som Gud vill?
Well, they got on the internet and tried to find a place to worship.
Och de kom på nät och prövade att finna ett ställe där de kunde gå och ha möte och gå på möte.
And they found our baby church.
Och så fann de vår menighetsbaby.
They began to attend.
Så började de komma dit.
And I can tell you that Bjarte and his family.
Och jag kan se att Bjarte och hans familj.
When they go on vacation.
När de drar på ferie.
They always attend church faithfully.
Så går de alltid trofast I menigheten.
That says something, doesn't it?
Det säger något, ja.
That says something. After he had visited some,
efter att han hade besökt där en del,
we had come to know each other pretty well.
Så började vi bli gott känt.
Built a friendship.
Och byggt ett vänskap.
He said you should come to Norway.
Så sa han du borde komma till Norge.
Now people come from different places, and they often invite me to come.
Och folk kommer från olika städer och av och till ofta så blir jag inviterad till att komma dit.
But I never felt like I was supposed to go.
Men jag kände aldrig att jag skulle dra.
Thought it would have been nice, but I didn't feel like the Lord was saying that I was to go.
Jag tänkte det kunde vara fint, men jag kände inte att Herren sa att jag skulle dra.
He said you should come to Norway.
Så sa han att du borde dra till Norge.
I said I appreciate the invitation.
Så jag satte pris på invitationen.
But I treated it like every other invitation.
Men jag behandlade det akkurat sånt som jag plejer att göra när jag får sådana
invitationer. I didn't pay much attention to it.
Jag brukte inte mycket tid på det.
He returned.
Han kom tillbaka.
He said again, a little more urgency. You should come to Norway.
Så sa han igen, och lite tydligare. Du borde komma till Norge.
I said I appreciate your invitation.
Så jag sätter pris på invitationen.
I'll think about it.
Jag ska tänka på det.
But I didn't think about it very much.
Men jag tänkte egentligen inte så mycket på det.
Fact is, the only thing that I knew about Norway was I thought it was cold here.
Det enda jag visste om Norge det var faktiskt att det var kallt här.
Now I love Orlando, Florida.
Och jag är glad I Orlando, Florida.
And it's not cold in Orlando, Florida.
Och det är inte kallt I Orlando, Florida.
Why would anyone who loves Orlando, Florida?
Varför kunde någon som är glad I Orlando
wanna go where it's cold.
Ville resa dit som det är kallt?
That's why he was in Orlando.
Det var därför han kom till Orlando.
And then he came again.
Och så kom han igen.
And he said, I really think you should come to Norway.
Så sa han, jag syns verkligen du skulle komma till Norge.
That time the Holy Spirit did something inside my heart. He stirred something.
Och på det tidspunktet så gjorde den Helige Ande något I hjärtat mitt och beväget något.
I knew there was something about that stirring.
Och jag visste att det var något med det.
And I said I'll pray about it.
Så sa jag, jag ska be över det.
I can tell you that I was faithful.
Jag kan fortälla dig att I detta var jag trofast.
I have learned that it's important when you tell someone you're going to pray.
Jag har lärt att det är viktigt när du fortäller någon att du ska be.
That you actually pray.
Att du faktiskt ber.
You do that, right?
Du gör det, du sant?
You don't just tell someone, "Well, I'll be praying for you."
Du säger väl inte bara till någon att jag ska be för dig.
And then never get around to that.
Och så gör det liksom aldrig.
We don't have anybody in the room that does that.
Vi har inte någon här I detta rummet som gör det, inte sant?
So I said, "I'll pray about it."
Så sa jag, jag vill be över det.
I'm not going to tell you there was anything special going on that day. There was not.
Jag ska inte säga att det var något speciellt som föregick den dagen, för det var det inte.
But the moment that I was faithful to kneel down and pray. Over that invitation.
I det ögonblicket jag var trofast och böjde knä och bad för den invitationen.
My knees no more than hit the floor.
Og jeg hadde ikke før knærne mine truffet bakken.
And the Spirit of God did something inside of me.
Så gjorde den Hellige Ånd noe inni meg.
And broke my heart in a way for a people that I have never experienced before.
Og sønderknuste hjertet mitt for et folk som jeg aldri før hadde hørt.
I could not pray for the weeping.
Jeg kunne ikke be, for jeg gråt så mye.
I wept.
Jeg gråt og gråt.
And cried.
And
I wet the seat of that chair
with
my tears over a country I had never been to,
over et land som jeg aldri hadde besøkt,
and I knew nothing about.
Og som jeg ikke visste noen ting om.
It was on a Sunday afternoon.
Det var en søndag ettermiddag.
Now you must understand, I had no idea where Norway was.
Jeg hadde ingen anelse om hvor Norge var.
I wasn't really big on geography in school.
Jeg var aldri god i geografi på skolen.
And those countries on the other side of the globe.
Og de landene på andre siden av jordkloden.
I didn't pay much attention to them.
Jeg brukte ikke mye tid på de.
I'll just be honest.
Jeg må være ærlig med deg.
I'm just being honest with you. I want you to know how this happened.
Jeg vil at du skal vite hvordan dette skjedde. Derfor er jeg helt ærlig med deg.
On Monday mornings, I teach a group of men at a Christian business.
Og mandag morgen så underviser jeg en gruppe menn på en kristen virksomhet, en forretning.
A Bible study with them. Every Monday morning.
Har bibelteamet med denne bedriften hver mandag morgen.
We talk about how to run a business like God would run it.
Og så snakker vi om hvordan vi skulle drive en forretning sånn som Gud vil gjøre det.
As though Jesus was the chairman of the board.
Som om Jesus var styreformann.
And so when I went there to teach that Monday morning.
Så jeg dro for å undervise den mandag morgen.
And I had completed my teaching.
Og jeg hadde fullført det jeg skulle si.
I went into the office of the president of that company.
Så jeg gikk inn på kontoret til han som var president i det selskapet.
He had a beautiful globe sitting in his office.
Han hadde en flott globus der på kontoret sitt.
It had precious stones and jewels, and the entire globe was created out of these precious stones.
Det var edelstenar och juveler och hela den globusen var satt samman av såna stenar.
It's a beautiful globe, perhaps you've seen one like it.
En vacker globus, kanske du har sett en av det slaget.
And I went over to that globe and I thought, I wonder where Norway is.
Så gick jag bort till den globusen och så sa jag, lurar på var Norge är.
And so I started to spin it around.
Så begynte jag snurra runt.
And I looked.
Och jag letade.
And I looked.
Och jag letade.
And there it was.
Och där fann jag det.
What I want you to understand is that the first time that I saw Norway, I saw it as a nation on the globe.
Jeg vil at du skal forstå at det første gang jeg så Norge, så jeg det som en nasjon på denne globusen.
And God stirred my heart for a nation, for a people.
Og Gud beveget mitt hjerte for en nasjon og for et folk.
I began to pray about that, and I can tell you that every time that I go to prayer, it hasn't failed yet. Every time that I go to prayer for this nation.
Jeg begynte å be, og det skjer ikke en gang når jeg ber for denne nasjonen.
That same kind of burden and that same kind of release occurs.
At ikke den samme byrden og den samme forløsningen skjer.
It has never failed.
Det svikter aldri.
But as I was praying over the nation.
Mens jeg ba over nasjonen.
I didn't know anything about the history.
Jeg visste ingenting om historien.
The Holy Spirit began to teach me about the spiritual history of this nation.
Og den Hellige Ånd begynte å undervise meg om den åndelige historien til dette landet.
The Holy Spirit said there was once a great move of God on that nation.
Den Hellige Ånd sa til meg at det var en gang en sterk bevegelse av Gud i denne nasjonen.
Generations ago, I released my spirit upon that nation.
For generationer siden så forløste jeg min ånd over den nasjonen.
Generations ago, there was a great outpouring like under that in the book of Acts.
For generasjonssiden så var det en sterk utgytelse, akkurat som den i Apostlenes gjerninger.
And the fires of the Holy Spirit began to be lighted across that nation, across that land.
Og den Hellige Ånds brand begynte å bli tent over hele dette landet.
Entire families began to come to God.
Hele familier omvendte seg til Gud.
And it changed the shape of their nation. It changed the spiritual landscape of that nation.
Og det forandret nasjonen og hele det åndelige landskapet i dette landet.
They once did not know me, but now they were my people.
For en gang så kjente de meg ikke, men nå var de blitt mitt folk.
He said, but time has passed.
Men tiden har gått.
And he said, those fires, some of those fires have gone out.
Han sa at noen av disse her ildpåsettelsene har sluknet. Noe av ilden har sluknet.
And in a few places, there are some embers that still have a little glow to them.
Og på noen steder er det noen sånne små glør igjen.
There's still life.
Det er fortsatt liv.
But there's not many places like that.
Men det er ikke mange sånne steder.
He said to me that I'm about to do a stirring.
Och så sa han till mig att jag håller på att bevega något.
And I want you to pray and be a part of this stirring.
Jag vill att du ska be och bli en del av denna bevegelsen.
I don't know what my role is. I have no idea.
Jag vet inte vad min roll är. Jag har ingen peiling.
I think that perhaps one of the primary things I'm supposed to do is just pray.
Kanske en av de viktigaste tingen jag ska göra är bara att be.
Just pray for your nation.
Bara be för detta landet.
I've discovered that God's raised up some great men and women of God in this nation.
Jag har sett att Gud har rest upp några stora Guds kvinnor och män i denna nationen.
And I'm also saying that God is raising up a generation that some of you have never expected were going to have a heart after God.
Och jag ser också att Gud är i färd med att resa upp en generation där ingen av dere ville förväntat att deras hjärte skulle vara efter Gud.
You know those kids that you can't understand why they dress like they do?
Du vet om de ungdomarna, du förstår inte varför de klär sig sånt som de gör.
You know those kids that you can't understand why they listen to what they listen to?
Du ser de ungdomarna, du förstår inte varför de hör på det som de hör på.
God is doing a fresh thing in the hearts of those kids.
Gud gör något nytt i deras hjärta hos de ungdomarna.
God is answering the prayers you've been praying.
Gud svarar på de böner som dere har bett.
And he is raising up a generation.
Och han reser upp en generation.
I've seen it. It's a powerful thing.
Jag har sett det. Det är en mäktig ting.
The other afternoon, I was teaching at a Bible school in Bergen.
Här för några dagar sedan så undervisade jag på en bibelskola i Bergen.
There are about 30 students in that school that have taken a year out of their life before they go to college.
Det är runt 30 elever på den skolan som har satt av ett år för de ska vidare på studier.
They're there to know God better and to have some idea of what God wants them to do with their life.
De är där för att bli bättre känt med Gud och för att få bättre rättning för vad Gud vill att de ska bruka livet sitt till.
I taught on prayer and fasting and then we spent an entire day in prayer and fasting together.
Jag undervisade om bön och fasta och så tillbrakte vi en hel dag i bön och fasta samman.
Toward the conclusion of the day I listened to those students begin to pray for their nation.
Och mot slutet av dagen så lyssnade jag till dessa ungdomar när de bad för sin nation.
And I can tell you that in all my life I have never heard students pray for a nation like I heard that afternoon.
Och jag kan säga i hela mitt liv så har jag aldrig hört studenter och elever be sånt för sin nation som de gjorde den eftermiddagen.
My heart was moved as brand new believers, brand new followers of Christ were moved to pray for their nation.
Mitt hjärta blev beveget i det helt nya efterföljare av Jesus blev beveget in i att de skulle be för sin nation.
God is doing a great thing.
Gud gör något stort.
We need to understand that God is busy.
Vi tränger att förstå att Gud är engagerad.
And we need to come into partnership with what God's doing.
Och vi måste gå samman med det som Gud gör.
We need to also understand that God has a large view.
Vi måste förstå att Gud har ett stort perspektiv.
The marvelous thing about God is he's able to look at the heart of an individual.
Det stora med Gud är att han kan se in i hjärtat till ett enkelt människa.
And he's able to look at a nation.
Och han kan också se på en hel nation.
And God has a heart for this nation.
Och Gud har ett hjärta för denna nation.
This nation has been one of the great nations in the world for sending missionaries.
Det har varit en av de största nationerna i världen för att sända ut missionärer.
When Norwegians come to Jesus and love Jesus, they want to see other people come to Jesus.
När norrmän kommer till Jesus och blir känt med han så vill de se andra bli känt med han också.
And they begin to reach down in their pockets and begin to sponsor missions work so that missionaries can go to fields and take the gospel of Jesus Christ to places it's never been before.
Och när de blir frälst så tar de hånden ner i lommen och så börjar de att stötta missionärer till att sända dem till städer där ingen har gått förut.
Norway has been a great mission sending country in the past.
Norge har varit en stor missionsutsändare base i tidigare.
And that is being raised up again.
Och det ska resas och bli färdigt och bli rest upp igen.
Aren't you glad for what God's doing?
Är du glad för det som Gud gör?
I'm glad what God's doing, aren't you?
Är du glad för det Gud gör? Är du det?
Now let me ask you a question.
Låt mig ställa ett spörsmål.
What are our expectations like?
Vad är våra förväntningar?
What are our expectations like?
Vådan är våra förväntningar.
What are we expecting God to do?
För vad förväntar vi att Gud ska göra?
Are we expecting anything significant?
Väntar vi något betydningsfullt?
Are we just thinking that things are going to be like they've always been?
Tänker vi att ting bara ska bli som de alltid har varit?
Because I want to tell you things are not going to be like they've always been.
Jag ska fortälla er att ting vill inte bli som de alltid för har varit.
There's a change in the realm of the spirit that is taking place right now.
Det är en förändring som sker i undervärlden akkurat nu.
There are stirrings that are occurring across this land.
Över hela detta landet så är det bevegelse.
I was praying a few months ago for Norway.
Jag bad för några månader sedan för Norge.
And as I was praying I saw in this vision.
Och mens jag bad så såg jag detta syne.
There were these like balls of fire that began to fall from heaven.
Det var akkurat som illkula som fallt ifrån himmelen.
And a dozen or more of these balls of fire began to land across the nation of Norway.
Och en dusin eller mer av dessa illkula begynte att landa på Norge.
And I was reminded how generations ago.
Och så blev jag minnet om att för generationer sedan.
About 100 years ago or so.
För runt 100 år sedan eller sån.
Give or take, depending upon where it happened.
Plus minus lite forskjellig hur det skedde.
That God sent some fire in the past.
Att Gud har sent ill här i fortid.
You need to know that what God sent in the past.
Du må veta det att det Gud har sent tidigare.
He is sending again.
Sänder han på nytt.
Amen.
Amen.
There's a song that we sing that says he will do it again.
En sång vi sjunger som heter han vill göra det igen.
Do you sing a song like that that has those words?
Sjunger där en sån sång här med den texten.
He'll do it again.
Han gör det igen.
Thank God he's doing it again.
Tack Gud att han gör det igen.
But we have to understand what our role and what our position is in what God is doing.
Men vi måste förstå vad som är vår roll och vår ställning i det som Gud gör.
Now I want to ask you a question.
Så nu vill jag ställa dig ett spörsmål.
Why do you think it's important that God has gone to the extent of making us his children?
Varför tror du det är viktigt att Gud har gjort det sånt att vi ska vara hans barn?
Why his children?
Varför hans barn?
You see, he could have got us to heaven.
Du skulle han kunde gjort sånt att vi kom till himlen.
By just redeeming our soul.
Med bara och gjenlösa vår själ.
Cleaning us up.
Och rensa oss upp.
And readying us.
Och gör oss reda.
Making us holy.
Gör oss heliga.
He could have got us to heaven that way.
Han kunde sorgat för att vi kom till himmel på den måten.
Why did he do something else?
Men varför gjorde han något annat?
Why did God think that it was necessary not just to redeem us?
Varför trodde Gud att det var nödvändigt inte bara att gjenlösa oss?
Not just to save our soul.
Inte bara att frälsa vår själ.
But to call us his children, to make us his children.
Men att kalla oss för hans barn och göra oss till hans barn.
Why would he do that?
Varför vill han göra det?
Have you ever asked yourself that question?
Har du någon gång ställt dig själv det spörsmålet?
The answer is probably no.
Svaret är sannolikt nej.
You probably thought, well, I've always heard we were the children of God.
Du har väl alltid tänkt att vi är Guds barn.
Perhaps you've thought, well, we're children of God because God created everyone and we're all God's children.
Du har kanske tänkt att vi är Guds barn fördi han har skapat allt och då är vi alla hans barn.
And so maybe that's where the idea we're all God's children and the children of God comes from.
Och kanske det är där tanken kommer fram att vi är alla Guds barn.
First thing we need to know is that everybody is not God's child.
Men det första vi måste veta är att alla är inte Guds barn.
Only the redeemed are the children of God.
Bara de gjenlösta är Guds barn.
All the redeemed are sons and daughters of God.
Bara de som är gjenlösta är Guds söner och döttrar.
Everybody is not a child of God.
Alla är inte ett Guds barn.
Everybody's creation goes back there.
Allas skapelse går vända tillbaka dit.
But everybody's not a child of God.
Men inte alla är ett Guds barn.
Why does he make us his children?
Varför gör han oss till sina barn?
He has a reason.
Han har en grund till det.
And it has nothing to do with getting us to heaven.
Men det har ingenting med att vi ska till himlen att göra.
That's what redemption takes care of.
Det var det frälsen tog hand om.
That's what the cross takes care of.
Det var det korset tog hand om.
That's what Jesus did takes care of.
Det var det Jesus gjorde att ta hand om.
But Jesus goes beyond that in his relationship with us.
Men Jesus går längre än det i sitt förhållande till oss.
The language of the scriptures teaches us.
Skriften undervisar oss om.
That Jesus is like our brother.
Att Jesus är som vår bror.
How can he be my brother?
Hur kan han vara min bror?
Because God has chosen to adopt you and me and make us his children as well.
För att Gud har bestämt sig för att adoptera mig och dig och göra oss till hans barn också.
So when we come to Christ, we become the adopted children of God.
Så när vi kommer till Jesus så blir vi Guds adoptivbarn.
Aren't you glad you've been adopted?
Är inte du glad för att du blivit adopterad?
It has nothing to do with your going to heaven.
Det har ingenting att göra med att du ska till himlen.
But you've been adopted.
Men du har blivit adopterad.
You're a child of God.
Nu är du ett Guds barn.
So why were you adopted?
Så varför blev du adopterad?
You thought you knew the answer before we started.
Du trodde du visste svaret på detta före vi började, inte sant?
Why do you think we're adopted?
Varför tror du vi blev adopterat?
If we think about one of the familiar passages, one of the great stories of scripture that Jesus taught, it's a parable that Jesus taught.
Om vi tänker på en av de stora historierna i Bibeln, en liknelse som Jesus fortalte.
We get a little bit of insight.
Så får vi lite insyn i detta.
We find that story over in the Gospel of Luke.
Vi finner den historien i Lukas evangelium.
There is one parable with three aspects to it.
Där är en liknelse med tre sidor.
And one of those is the lost son.
Och en av de är den förtappte sonen.
You remember it now, the lost coin, the lost sheep and the lost son.
Huskar du den tappte mynten, den tappte fåret och den tappte förtappte sonen?
Now very quickly I want you to think about that and we're going to walk through it very rapidly.
Jag vill att du ska tänka om över det där. Ska vi gå raskt igenom det?
But in order to get an understanding, we want to go all the way back to where Abraham and Isaac were.
Men för att få en förståelse av detta så ska vi gå helt tillbaka till Abraham och Isak.
Now they lived in a very different culture than you and I live in.
De levde i en helt annan kultur än den som du och jag bor i.
The scriptures reveal to us that their environment was very different than ours.
Skriften visar till oss att deras omgivelser var annorlunda än våra.
When I was talking to those kids the other day, teaching them at Substance Bible School.
Och när jag snackat med dessa eleverna på Substans Bibelskola här förleden.
I asked them this question.
Så spurte de dette spørsmålet.
I said, how many of you are raised in a family where your father has a business that you're going to take over?
Så hvor mange av dere har vokst opp i en familie der din far har en forretning eller et næringsprosjekt som du skal overta?
You understand the question?
Forstår du spørsmålet?
Not one student raised their hand.
Ikke en av elevene løftet opp hånden.
Out of about 30 students there.
Av rundt 30 elever der.
There wasn't one student.
Så var det ikke en elev.
That was going to follow in their father's footsteps.
Som skulle følge i sin fars fotspor.
And assume a family business.
Og overta en familiebedrift.
We live in a different society.
Vi lever i et annet samfunn.
We live in a different economy.
Vi lever i en annen økonomi.
We now have businesses and we all have all kinds of different jobs we can get.
Vi har alle mulige typer jobber. Vi har ikke bare våre egne familiebedrifter.
And the idea of a family business as an estate that goes from generation to generation is not something that's a normal part of our mindset.
Og tanken om å ha en familiebedrift, en familiegård som går fra generasjon til generasjon, det er ikke en del av vårt tankesett.
But it was the way Abraham thought.
Men det var sånn Abraham tenkte.
Remember the promises that God made to Abraham in that covenant.
Husker du de løftene som Gud ga til Abraham i den pakten? Han lovet at det ville komme en sønn, Isak.
Isaac, would have many children, in fact, so many that it would become a nation.
Og gjennom Isak skulle han få mange, mange barn, så mange at det ble en nasjon.
And God said, I'm going to bless you abundantly, Abraham.
Og Gud sa, jeg skal velsigne deg rikelig, Abraham.
Very quickly going through the scripture, he did.
Og gjennom, raskt gjennom skriften, det gjorde han.
Abraham started from nothing.
Abraham begynte fra ingenting.
And he developed a great estate, if you please.
Og han utviklet en stor gård, en stor slekt, om du vil.
Lots of livestock.
Masse dyr.
He had servants.
Han hadde tjenere.
Had help.
Han hadde hjelpere.
Had this great family business.
Hadde en stor familievirksomhet.
But he needed a son to pass it on to, and God had promised him a son.
Men han trengte en sønn som han kunne gi videre til, og Gud hadde lovet han en sønn.
And so when Isaac came along,
så når Isak kom etter hvert,
God said, Isaac, I'm going to come into a covenant with you just like I came into a covenant with your father.
Så sa Gud til Isak, jeg skal inngå pakt med deg akkurat som jeg gjorde pakt med din far.
Now I want us to understand something.
Jeg vil at vi skal forstå en ting.
We have heard the reference, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob.
Vi har hørt dette referansen til Abrahams, Isak og Jakobs Gud.
Have you heard that reference?
Har du hørt den noen gang?
The God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob.
Abrahams, Isak og Jakobs Gud.
But you know the scriptures, that's not actually what they say.
Men i skriften så er ikke det det som står der.
What the scriptures actually say.
Det Bibelen egentlig sier er.
Is that God is saying, I am the God of Abraham.
Ja, Gud sier, jeg er Abrahams Gud.
And I am the God of Isaac.
Og jeg er Isaks Gud.
And I am the God of Jacob.
Og jeg er Jakobs Gud.
I came into a covenant relationship with Abraham.
Jeg kom, gjorde pakt med Abraham.
And I kept that covenant and I blessed him.
Og jeg holdt den pakten og jeg velsignet
ham. And then I came into a covenant relationship with Isaac.
Og så gikk jeg pakt med Isak.
It was a personal covenant.
Det var en personlig pakt.
It was an individual covenant.
En individuell pakt.
Just like I had with his daddy.
Akkurat som jeg hadde med hans far.
I kept that. I was faithful to it.
Jeg holdt den pakten og var trofast mot den og velsignet ham.
And then I came into a personal covenant relationship with Jacob.
Og så inngikk jeg en personlig pakt med Jakob.
I'm not the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac and I am the God of Jacob.
Så jeg er ikke Abraham, Isak og Jakobs Gud, men jeg er Abrahams Gud, Isaks Gud og Jakobs Gud.
God sets a pattern there that says, I come into an individual relationship with you. This is not a group thing. This is an individual thing.
Gud etablerer et mønster der han inngår personlig pakt med hver enkelt. Dette individuelt anliggende, ikke en gruppe.
Now when Isaac got up to about 40 years of age,
så når Isak ble rundt 40 år gammel,
his dad had been mentoring him for these 40-some years.
Så hadde faren veiledet han i rundt 40 år.
In America, kids leave about 18 years of age or so. They think they know everything by 18 years of age.
I Amerika så tror ungene at de vet alt de trenger å vite når de er rundt 18 år, så da forlater de hjemme.
But remember, it was a different time.
Men husk at det var en annen tid.
And remember that Isaac, what's he going to do?
Husk at Isak, hva skal han gjøre?
He's going to take over the family business.
Han ska ta över familjens verksamhet.
Abraham, his dad, is going to pass something on to him.
Abraham som är far, han ska ge något vidare till han.
So at about 40 years of age, this transfer begins to occur.
Så rundt når han rundt 40 år, så begynner denne overgangen å skje.
Now, God begins to bless Isaac because God came into a covenant relationship with Isaac.
Så Gud begynner å velsigne Isak fordi han har inngått pakt med Isak.
And by the time that Abraham passes away,
og innen den tiden at Abraham dør,
God blesses Isaac so much,
så velsigner Gud Isak så rikelig,
that he blesses him 100 times what he started with what was handed down to him.
At han velsignet han 100 ganger det som han begynte med når han fikk det overlevert fra sin far.
In other words, God had blessed Abraham abundantly,
med andre ord, Gud hadde velsignet Abraham rikelig,
and then God took that,
og så tok Gud dette,
and multiplied it 100 times.
Og så mangedoblet det 100 ganger.
The multiplication was so substantial.
Multiplikasjonen var så stor.
That in two generations.
At i løpet av to generasjoner.
The nations that were around, the kingdoms that were around Isaac and his family.
Så hadde de kongerikene som var rundt Isak og rundt hans familie.
The rulers of those kingdoms got together and had a conversation.
De som regjerte i disse rikene, de kom sammen og hadde en samtale.
They said, this guy Isaac,
så sa de at denne fyren Isak,
he's growing abundantly in his wealth.
Han vokser i voldsomt i rikdom.
He has his own militia.
Han har sin egen hær.
He can defend himself.
Han kan forsvare seg.
And he's so strong that if he decides to do it, he can come against us.
Han er så stark at om han bestemmer seg for det, så kan han komme og ta oss.
And so those kings got together and said, we should come into a peace agreement with Isaac because Isaac is so strong.
Så de kongene kom sammen og bestemte seg for at de skulle gjøre fredsavtale med Isak, fordi Isak var så sterk.
Two generations.
I løpet av to generasjoner.
And then comes Jacob.
Og så kommer Jakob.
God blesses Jacob.
Og Gud velsigner Jakob.
Jacob has sons.
Jakob har sønner.
How many sons?
Hvor mange sønner?
12 sons.
12 sønner.
They become the 12 tribes of Israel.
Det blir Israels 12 stammer.
God makes out of those,
ut av det så skaper
the nation
Gud
of Israel.
Nasjonen Israel.
God's blessing.
Guds velsignelse.
But I want you to see that that happened.
Han velsigner. Jeg vil at du skal se at det skjer.
Because of the concept of a family business.
På grunn av denne ideen om en familievirksomhet.
Abraham had a business.
Abraham hadde en virksomhet.
That he passed on to Isaac.
Som han ga videre til Isak.
Isaac had a business.
Isak hadde en virksomhet.
That he passed on.
Som han sendte videre.
And that father Jacob.
Og den faderen
had
Jakob
a business he passed on.
Hadde en virksomhet.
To 12 sons.
Som han ga videre til 12 sønner. Ser du det?
It's important that you see that because when Jesus teaches the parable of the lost son.
Det er viktig at du ser det, for når Jesus forteller lignelsen om den fortapte sønn,
he has that picture in mind.
Så har han dette bildet i tankene.
And so now when the son, the young son comes to the father.
Så når den unge sønnen kommer til faren,
and says, "Dad, I want everything that belongs to me."
Og sier, far, jeg vil ha alt som tilkommer meg.
We got an estate here. I know that I'm going to receive some of this estate.
Vi har en eiendom her, og jeg vet at jeg kommer til å få en del av dette.
But I want mine now.
Men jeg vil ha min del nå.
I don't want to be a part of the family business, Dad.
Jeg vil ikke være en del av familiens virksomhet.
You and my brother can take care of the family business.
Du og min bror kan ta dere av familiens virksomhet.
I want to go do my own thing.
Jeg vil gjøre min egen greie.
Do you understand that?
Skjønner du dette?
You see how that works?
Ser du hvordan dette fungerer?
Dad, I want to take what's mine. You do the family business. I'm going to do something else.
Far, jeg vil ha det som er mitt. Du kan fortsette familiens virksomhet. Jeg skal gå og gjøre noe annet.
Now, if you've ever tried to reason with a kid like that, you know that there wasn't any reasoning going to happen that day.
Og hvis du noen gang har prøvd å snakke en sånn ungdom til fornuft, så skjønner du det at det var helt umulig å oppnå enighet med
han. So the father took the wealth and he divided it and he gave it to the youngest son.
Så faren tok rikdommen som han hadde og delte det og ga sin del til sønn.
Now, when the youngest son left,
og når den yngste sønnen forlot stedet,
he didn't walk out by himself.
Så gikk han ikke ut alene.
Their wealth walked on all fours.
Deres rikdom, den gikk på alle fire.
There was cattle.
Det var sånn kyr.
There were sheep, there were goats.
Det var sauer og geiter.
And all of this livestock.
Og alt dette her, alle disse dyrene.
He had things he had taken out of the house.
Han hadde ting som han hadde tatt hjemmefra.
He had servants and people that helped care for all of that.
Han hadde tjenere og folk som tok seg av
alt dette. Enormous estate.
Det var en stor eiendom.
So when he left his daddy's house.
Så han forlot sin fars hus.
There's an entourage that's following him.
Så det er et helt følge som kommer etter han.
You get that picture in your mind.
Har du dette bildet nå i tankene?
He didn't walk out with a bank account.
Han gikk ikke med en bankkonto.
He didn't have a credit card.
Han hadde ikke kreditkort.
He didn't have a pocket full of money.
Han hadde ikke lommen full av penger.
He had an entourage.
Han hadde et helt følge
of wealth behind him.
Av rikdom som kom etter han.
But then what happened?
Men hva skjedde så?
He wasted all of that, didn't he?
Han ödet allt detta.
He wasted it on wild living.
Han slöste det på ett vilt liv.
He squandered every bit of it.
Han ödet allt han hade.
I would have liked to have been there when he sold the last item of value that he had.
Jag skulle likt att vara där när han sålde den sista värdefulla gjenstanden han hade.
I wonder what was going through his mind when he walked away with the few coins that he had, and now he realized as he looked at it, that's the last thing that's left from the estate that I have.
Jag lurer på hva som gikk gjennom tanken hans når han hadde solgt det aller siste han hadde og hadde noen mynter igjen og visste at det var det siste han hadde igjen av fars arven.
And in a little while that was gone.
Og så etter en liten stund var også det borte.
And then he found that he was hungry.
Og så fant han ut at han var sulten.
He began to try to find a place where he could work.
Han prøvde å finne et sted hvor han kunne jobbe.
But he couldn't find a good job.
Men han fant ikke arbeid.
He couldn't find a job that paid enough to feed him.
Han fant ikke jobb så han kunne tjene nok på til å spise.
And so he asked a pig farmer.
Så han spurte en grisefarmer.
Now he wasn't supposed to have anything to do with pigs.
Han skulle ikke engang ha med griser å gjøre.
This shows us how low and disconnected he got.
Dette viser hvor lavt nede og hvor langt han var kommet.
So he went to a pig farmer.
Så han dro til en grisefarmer.
And he said, "Can I work here?"
Så sa han, "Kan jeg få jobbe her?"
And what he was asking for, he said, "I just want to have some of what you feed the hogs."
Och den spurte om att det var om man kunde få något av det som han gav till grisarna.
I just want to tell you real quick, God has nothing against hogs.
Jag vill att du ska veta det, fortälla det helt kort. Gud har ingenting emot grisar.
But you know that hog meat has to be cooked at a certain temperature.
Men du vet att grisekött måste kokas på en speciell temperatur, inte sant?
You have to make sure that it's cooked at a high enough temperature that it's safe to eat, right?
Du må vite at den kokt på en så høy temperatur at det trygt å spise.
And during that time, it was difficult to make sure that meat was going to be cooked at that kind of temperature.
Og på det tidspunktet så var det vanskelig å vite at det ble kokt på høy nok temperatur.
But if you so desire, you can take a fresh piece of beef.
Men hvis du har lyst så kan du ta et ferskt stykke kjøtt, oksekjøtt.
You can cut you off some meat.
Så kan du skjære av litt kjøtt.
You can reach down and take that raw piece of beef.
Så kan du ta det rå kjøttet.
Put it in your mouth and walk away and eat it.
Ta det i munnen och så gå och gå och spisa det.
There's no problem.
Det är inte något problem.
I used to manage a steakhouse in America.
Jag jobbade på en sån biffrestaurang i Amerika.
And sometimes customers would come in.
Och av och till så kom kunden in.
They'd say, "I don't want my meat cooked."
Så sa de, "Jag vill inte att det ska ha mitt kött stekt."
I just want it warm.
Jag vill bara att det ska bli varmt.
They wanted it raw.
De ville egentlig ha det rått.
But you can't do that with hog meat.
Men du kan ikke gjøre det med svinekjøtt.
And so God didn't want his people messing with hogs.
De kunne ikke gjøre det med kjøtt som du skulle gi til svin. Så han ville ikke at folket skulle ha med svin å gjøre.
But here he is, he's in the hog pen.
Men her han, altså i grisebingen.
And he's begging those who are feeding the hogs that they will give him something to eat of what the hogs are getting.
Så han bønnfaller de som gir mat til svinene, om de vil gi han noe av den maten som de svinene får.
But the scriptures say he was refused.
Men skriften sier at han ble nektet dette.
They would feed the hogs first and what the hogs would not eat, that's what he got to eat.
De ga først mat til grisen, og når grisen ikke ville ha, det fikk han resten av.
I don't know how it could get worse than that.
Jeg vet ikke hvordan det kunne bli verre enn dette.
And the scripture says that when he came to his senses.
Og skriften sier at når han kom til seg selv og kom til fornuften.
That at that time he said, "I know what I will do."
Så sa han, "Jeg vet hva jeg vil gjøre."
I will go back to my father.
Jeg vil gå tilbake til min far.
Because my father, I know him to be a good man.
For min far vet jeg, en god man.
I know him to be a man of high moral and ethical character.
Jeg vet at han har høy moral og etisk karakter.
I know him to be a loving man.
Jeg vet at han en kjærlig mann.
And I believe that my father.
Og jeg tror at min far.
Just might give me a job.
Kanskje vil gi meg en jobb.
I don't deserve to ask to come back as a son.
Jeg fortjener ikke å komme tilbake som
sønn.
Så jeg skal ikke spørre om det.
But I will go and I will ask him if he will forgive me and I will ask him for a job.
Så men jeg vil gå og be om han kan tilgi meg og at han kan gi meg en jobb.
And so he left the pig pen.
Og så han forlot grisebingen.
And he headed toward home.
Og han dro hjemover.
And with every step he thought about what he was going to ask his dad and how he would say it.
Og for hvert skritt han tok så tenkte han på hvordan han ville spørre sin far og hvordan han skulle si det.
He thought about how I'm going to say, "God, I've sinned against God and I've sinned against you."
Han tenkte på hvordan han skulle si dette til faren. Jeg har syndet mot deg og jeg har syndet mot Gud.
"Dad, I'm sorry and I'm sorry that any of that ever happened."
Far, jeg er lei for at alt dette skjer. skjedde.
But if you would forgive me.
Men hvis du kan tilgi meg.
And give me a job.
Og gi meg en jobb.
Dad, I don't have a right to be called a son.
Far, jeg har ikke rett til å bli kalt sønn.
I'm not asking to be restored to this state.
Jeg ber ikke, om å bli gjenopprettet som sønn i form av arv.
I just want to be one of your servants.
Jeg vil bare være en av dine tjenere.
I'll live in the servant quarters.
Jeg skal bo sammen med tjenerne.
I don't have to come back in the house.
Jeg skal aldri komme tilbake i huset.
I don't have to eat around the family table.
Jeg skal ikke spise rundt bordet med resten av familien.
I don't have to have mom's cooking.
Jeg skal ikke få mors kjøttkaker. Jeg skal være en tjener.
Because I don't deserve to be a son.
For jeg fortjener ikke å bli en sønn.
We do that.
Vi gjør det samme.
In our failure.
Når vi mislykkes.
We cannot understand how God might receive us and restore us to sonship.
Så forstår ikke vi at Gud kan ta imot oss og gjenopprette oss som sønner.
And so we put ourselves on a kind of probation.
Så vi setter oss selv på prøvetid.
We're on probation by ourselves. We put ourselves on it.
Det er vi selv som legger denne prøvetiden på oss.
Now probation is something that man does.
Og prøvetid er noe som mennesker har oppfunnet.
But did you know that the word of God doesn't have probation in it?
Men vet du at Guds ord ikke har prøvetid?
Let me say it again. The word of God doesn't have probation in it.
La meg si det en gang til. Guds ord har ikke prøvetid.
Remember how bad David messed up?
Husker du hvor galt det gikk for David?
Did God put David on probation?
Satte Gud David i prøvetid?
The answer to that question is no.
Svaret er nei.
God doesn't do probation.
Gud driver ikke med prøvetid.
Let me tell you what God does.
La meg fortelle deg hva Gud gjør.
God does restoration.
Gud gjør gjenopprettelse.
God restores.
Han gjenoppretter.
What's broken?
Det som er ødelagt.
Like it was never broken before.
Som om det aldri var ødelagt før.
I like that better than probation.
Jeg liker det bedre enn prøvetid. Gjør ikke du det?
Now I want you to see what the Father did.
Jeg vil at du skal se hva faren gjorde.
The Father had made it a habit to look for the Son.
Faren hadde hatt som vane at han skulle gå ut og se etter sønnen sin.
He would go to a high place.
Han ville gå opp på et høydedrag.
And he would look down the road as far as he could see.
Så ville han se nedover veien så langt som han kunne se.
To see if he could see his son coming somewhere in the distance.
For å se om sønnen kom langt der borte.
It was a habit.
Det var blitt en vane.
It was a well-worn path.
Det var en godt opptrukket sti. Det var noe faren gjorde hver dag. Men en dag så dro han opp på dette høydedraget. Og han skygger for øynene sånn at han kan se nedover veien. Sånn at solen ikke hindrer synet hans. En dag så han en skikkelse som kom den veien. Det så ikke ut som sønnen hans. For sønnen hans var vel antrukket når han dro derifra. Det så ikke ut som sønn, for sønn hadde et følge av rikdom som fulgte etter
ham.
Og det var ikke noe følge bak denne
mannen.
Sønnen hans sto oppreist.
He was a proud son of a successful father.
Han var en stolt sønn av en vellykket mann, en far.
But this guy that was coming,
men denne mann som kom her,
had been stooped by the world that he had been living in, that the sin he had been involved in.
Han var kroket i blitt av den synden og den verden som han hadde vært involvert i.
But there was something about his gait.
Men det var noe ved hans gait.
Something about the way he walked.
Måten han gikk på.
There was something familiar about it.
Det var noe kjent ved han.
And as the father looked,
og mens faren så,
he said, I believe,
så sa han, jeg tror,
that might be my son.
At det kanskje er min sønn.
It may be him.
Det kan være han.
And so when he realized that that was probably him,
og når han skjønte at det var sannsynligvis han,
the scriptures tell us that the father ran from that high place and ran to meet his son.
Så sier skriften at han forlot høydedraget og løp ut for å møte sønnen sin.
And the story gives us this beautiful picture of this father who opens his arms out wide and embraces his son.
Og Bibelen forteller dette vakre bildet av en far som tar armene ut og omfavner sønnen sin.
It's a beautiful picture.
Det er et vakkert bilde.
Now, the son begins to say his apology.
Men nå begynner sønnen å be om tilgivelse.
He begins to say, Daddy, I'm so sorry.
Han begynner å si, far, jeg er så lei meg.
I have sinned against God.
Jeg har syndet mot Gud.
I have sinned against you.
Jeg har syndet mot deg.
And I want to repent, and I want you to forgive me.
Jeg vil omvende meg, og jeg vil at du skal tilgi meg.
He said, I'm not worthy to be called your son.
Han sa, jeg er ikke verdig til å bli kalt din sønn.
But before he could get his apology out,
Men før han fikk ut denne unnskyldningen.
You understand that? Before he could get his apology out.
Før han fikk fremført denne unnskyldningen.
His father interrupted it.
Så avbrøt faren han.
He said, just a minute, son.
Så sa han bare, vent
litt. And he turned to a servant.
Og så snudde han seg mot
tjeneren. And he said, go to the house and get him that new set of clothes that we got. We've been waiting on for him.
Og så sa han, gå tilbake til huset og hent de nye klærne som vi har gjort klar til han.
The father had had a tailor.
Faren hadde en skredder.
Make him a suit of clothes.
Som hade lagat kläder till sig.
How do you know that?
Hvordan vet du det, sier
du? Because that's how they made clothes back then.
For det var sånn de laget klær på den tiden.
So he had a set of clothes tailor made for his son.
Han hade skräddarsydda kläder till sig.
Because he was expecting.
For han förväntade
sig att one day
att en dag
he might return.
Kunde han komma tillbaka.
See, the son took it all with him the first time.
Sønnen tog med seg alt første gangen.
So the father had something made in case he showed up.
Så faren hadde gjort noe klart i tilfelle han kom tilbake.
The son started to get back in with his apology. Dad, I'm sorry, I've sinned against you and I've sinned against God. And his daddy said, just a minute, son. He said, go get the boy some shoes.
Och så fortsätter sonen och ber om tillgivelse. Och så säger faren ett ögonblick, men gå hämta några skor till han.
And so another servant runs to the house to get a pair of shoes.
Och en tjänare till löper tillbaka till huset för att hämta ett par skor.
Now, you understand they're not at the house yet.
Du förstår att de inte kom tillbaka till
they're
huset.
They're on the road.
De er på veien.
That leads to the house.
På veien til huset.
But they're not to the house yet.
Men de er ikke kommet tilbake til huset enda.
So the servant with the shoes comes back and it puts the shoes on.
Så tjeneren kommer tilbake med skoene.
And the son tries again.
Og sønnen prøver igjen.
And the father says to another servant, go get that ring.
Og så sier faren til en annen tjener, gå og hent ringen.
Go get that ring.
Gå og hent den ringen.
You bring that ring to me right now.
Gå och hämta den ringen till mig akkurat nu.
And so that servant ran to the house.
Så tjänaren löp tillbaka till huset.
And he picked up that ring.
Och han hämtade den ringen.
And he ran back out down the road to where the father was.
Och han löp ner över gatan tillbaka till där som faren var.
In conversation with his son.
Och i samtalet med sin son.
And he handed the father this ring.
Och så gav han den ringen till faren.
This was no ordinary ring.
Nej, det var inte en vanlig ring.
This wasn't just a nice ring that might have had the initial of the family's last name on.
Det var ikke bare en fin ring som kanskje hadde familiens initialer på.
This wasn't just a pretty piece of jewelry.
Det var ikke bare et fint stykke smykke.
This was a family ring that was designed to be a part of the family business.
Det var en familiering som var en del av familiens virksomhet.
This ring was used to sign legal documents.
Den ble brukt til å signere juridiske dokumenter.
Whoever wore this ring,
den som hadde denne ringen på seg,
had the right to come into and form a contractual agreement with another party.
Hadde rett til å inngå kontrakt og avtale med en annen.
And when that contract had been drawn up,
og når den kontrakten var skrevet,
whoever was wearing this ring,
den som da hadde denne ringen på seg,
take the ring and would press it into the document.
Så kunne han ta denne ringen og trykke det ned i dokumentet.
And would press it to such force that embossed the document with the impression of the ring.
Så gjorde han det med en sån kraft att det graverade in det som stod i ringen i dokumentet.
All of the authority in the family.
Hela familjens auktoritet.
Was in that ring.
Var i den ringen.
Every right to come into contractual agreement was in that ring.
Alla rättigheter till att ingå kontrakt var i den ringen.
Now let me ask you a question.
Låt mig ställa dig ett spörsmål.
If you're the father of a son that's just squandered everything that he had.
Hvis du är far till en son som akkurat har slöst allt han hade.
And he comes back looking like this guy looked.
Och han kommer tillbaka och ser ut som han här gjorde.
Are you going to give him the key to the bank?
Ger du han nyckeln till banken då?
Let me tell you what we'd do.
Låt mig fortälla dig vad vi vill gjort.
We say, Father, you would say, Son, I'm glad to have you home.
Du ville sagt, Son, jeg glad for å ha deg tilbake.
After dinner, we're going to have a conversation.
Etter middag, så skal vi ha en samtale.
We sit down, we say something like this.
Og så setter vi oss ned, og så sier vi noe sånt som dette.
Now, Son, I love you.
Du, Son, jeg glad i deg.
And I'm glad to have you home.
Og jeg glad for at du har kommet hjem.
It means a lot to me.
Det betyr mye for meg.
And it means a lot to your mother.
Og det betyr mye for din mor.
Now, Son, you've gone through all your money.
Nå, sønn, du har gått gjennom alle pengene dine.
You've made some lousy decisions.
Du har gjort noen dårlige beslutninger, elendige beslutninger.
And you come here with nothing left.
Og du kommer hit uten noe igjen.
But I tell you what we're going to do, son.
Men jeg vet hva vi skal gjøre, sønn min.
We're going to give you an opportunity to rebuild.
Vi skal gi deg en mulighet til å bygge deg opp igjen.
We're going to be watching.
Vi skal følge med deg.
You keep your heart in the right place.
Du holder hjertet ditt på rett sted.
You make good decisions.
Du treffer gode beslutninger.
Son, you do this thing right.
Hvis du gjør dette rett, sønn min.
And son, one of these days.
En vakker dag.
I'll give you this ring.
Så ska jag ge dig den här ringen.
And I'll trust you.
Och så kan ni stole på
with
dig
your portion of the business again.
Med din del av familjens verksamhet igen.
That's what we do, isn't it?
Det är det vi vill gjort, inte sant?
That's what you do.
Det är det du vill gjort.
That's the way we're wired.
För det är sån vi är skrudd samman.
But that's not what the father did.
Men det var inte det faren gjorde.
I want you to understand that before they got to the house.
Men jag vill att du ska förstå att för de kom till huset.
Before he had a bath.
För han hade duschat sig och vaskat sig.
While he still had the dirt of all of his failure on him.
Men han fortsatt hade all skitten som stammet från alla hans svik.
Totally restored the son and gave him every right and privilege, the same rights and privileges that he himself had as the father.
Så har gjenopprettet han fullstendig og gav han tilbake alle de rettighetene og forpliktelsene som han selv hadde som far i huset.
Now you've got to ask yourself,
så du må spørre deg selv.
Why in the world,
hvorfor i all verden
would a father,
vil en far
with any sense left,
med minste fornuft
do that to a son,
gjøre det med en sønn
who had messed up so bad.
Som hadde rotet det til så galt?
Why wouldn't he just make him a servant?
Hvorfor kunne han ikke bare gjøre han til en tjener?
Or why wouldn't he put him on probation?
Hvorfor ville han ikke sette han på prøvetid?
Why before he even got to the house?
Før han kom til huset.
Would he fully restore him?
Hvordan kunne han gjenopprette han fullstendig?
Or give him of everything that he did?
Og gi han alt det som han ga han.
And put the family ring on his finger.
Og gi han familieringen tilbake på fingeren.
Why would he do that?
Hvorfor ville han gjøre det?
There's an answer.
Det er et svar.
The answer lies in what Abraham was doing with Isaac.
Og svaret ligger i det som Abraham gjorde med Isak.
You see, the father had a business.
Du skjønner, faren hadde en virksomhet.
And what do fathers do with their business?
Og hva gjør fedre med virksomheten sin?
They turn it over to their children.
De gir det videre til barna sine.
God help us. Got some lights coming on here.
Gud hjelper oss. Jeg ser at det er noen lys som skrus på rundt omkring nå.
Turn it over to the sons.
De overlater det til sønnene sine og døtrene sine.
They turn it over to the kids.
De overlater det til barna.
But if you don't feel like you have authority.
Men hvis ikke du føler at du har autoritet.
You can't run the family.
Så kan du ikke drive familiens virksomhet.
If you haven't been restored after failure.
Hvis ikke du har blitt gjenopprettet etter sviket.
You don't have the rights and privileges to run.
Så har du ikke de rettighetene og privilegiene du trenger for å drive virksomheten.
And so it was absolutely necessary.
Så det var helt nødvendig.
For the father.
At faren.
To say, son, I'm going to restore you.
Sa til faren, sønn, jeg skal gjenopprette deg. Helt og fullt.
Why would you do that, Dad?
Hvorfor vil du gjøre det, far?
Because, son, one of these days,
fordi at en av disse dager, en gang i fremtiden, gutten min,
you're gonna be running part of this estate.
Så skal du drive en del av denne virksomheten.
You're gonna have it.
Du kommer til å ha det.
Yours.
Det skal bli ditt.
And what father,
og hvilken far,
does not look for a son,
ser ikke etter en sønn
to build bigger and larger,
som kan bygge større og bedre
than he had built himself,
enn han selv kunne bygge.
What father looks at a son?
Vilken far ser på en sønn?
And hopes he is not as successful as he was.
Og håper at han ikke er så vellykket som han selv.
Any loving father.
En hver far som elsker sitt barn.
Son to excel.
Vil at sønnen skal vokse. Og vil at han skal lykkes.
Why do you think Jesus taught this parable?
Hvorfor tror du Jesus lærte denne lignelsen?
So that the father could run out there and say, I forgive you, son.
Så att faren kunde löpa ut där och säga, jag tillger dig, son min.
I tell you, that son was forgiven before he was in his father's sight.
Jag ska berätta dig att den son var tillgitt för han hade kommit in i sin fars synsfält.
That father already had a heart of forgiveness.
Faren hade allerede tillgivende hjärte.
That's why that kid didn't have to get it all out.
Det var därför son inte helt tänkte att sätta ord på allt samman.
As soon as he began to speak the words of I'm sorry.
I det ögonblick han sa, jag är lei mig.
Forgiveness poured out of the heart of that father.
Så strömmer tillgivelsen ut av farens hjärta.
But he restored.
Men han gjenopprettet.
So the son.
Så att son
had the family business.
Kunde ha familjens verksamhet.
Now. When Jesus was 12 years old.
När Jesus var 12 år gammal.
He got lost from his mom and dad.
Så kom han bort från mor och far.
3 days.
I 3 dagar.
His mom finds him.
Så finner moren han till slut.
He's in a temple conversation with the scholars, the religious scholars of that time.
Han en samtal i tempelet med de skriftlærde.
She says, son, we've been looking all over for you.
Sier hun, sønn, vi har letet etter deg overalt.
And he responds a very interesting way.
Og så svarer han på en veldig interessant måte.
He said, "Wouldn't you know that I must be about my father's business?"
Så sier han, "Forstår du ikke at jeg er i min fars hus eller driver min fars virksomhet?"
Wouldn't you assume that this is what I would be doing?
Vil ikke du forvente at det er dette jeg skulle gjøre?
It's natural that a son would be about his father's business.
Det er naturlig at en sønn fortsetter sin fars virksomhet. Selvsagt er han der.
When the apostle Paul writes to the believers in Ephesus.
Når apostelen Paulus skriver til de troende i Efesus.
You read my passage of scripture.
Du leste mitt skriftsted i dag.
That the manifold wisdom of God.
At Guds mangfoldige visdom.
This is the intent of God.
Dette er Guds hensikt.
That the manifold wisdom of God.
At hans mangfoldige visdom.
Might be made known to the rulers and the authorities of this world.
Skal bli kjent for makten og myndigheten i denne verden.
And in the heavenly realm.
Og i himmelrommet.
Father's got a big business.
Faren har, vår far har en stor virksomhet.
Cool.
Han gjør kule ting. Han har et stort rike. Men han trenger noen han kan overlate det til.
So
og så kaller han på deg og meg. Og sier at vi er hans sønner og døtre. Er ikke det mektig?
Now,
så hvorfor er du nå et Guds barn?
Sånn
at du kan drive din fars virksomhet.
So you can continue the establishment and the multiplication of his kingdom.
Sånn at du kan fortsette opprettelsen og mangfoldiggjøringen av hans rike.
That's why.
Og derfor.
He gives you all the tools that he gives you.
Gir han deg alle de virkemidlene som han gir deg.
So you can build the family business.
Sånn at du kan bygge familiens virksomhet.
Think the gifts of the spirit are so you can sit around a small group and go, this is cool.
Tror du at åndens gaver er for at du skal kunne sitte i en liten gruppe og si dette er kult?
Sit around a small group and enjoy that, but for goodness sake, for the business sake, get it out of the small group.
Sitt gjerne i en liten gruppe og nyt det, men for virksomhetens skyld, kom ut av gruppen.
And go multiply the kingdom with it.
Og gå ut og mangfoldiggjør Guds rike med det.
Because a son who is a good steward of his father's business.
För en son som en god förvaltare av sin fars verksamhet.
Make sure it's well managed.
Sörja för att det blir styrt gott.
And that it grows.
Och att det växer.
And that's not just for a pastor.
Och det är inte bara för en pastor.
You see, we are everyone called.
För alla vi är kallt.
We're either a son of God.
Antingen är vi en Guds son.
Or a daughter of God.
Eller en Guds dotter.
And we're all expected.
Och alla förväntas det.
To build a family business.
Av oss att vi ska driva familjens verksamhet. Alla samman.
That's the only reason.
Det är den enaste grunden.
The only reason.
Den enaste grunden.
That God needs to make you his child.
Till att Gud vill göra dig till hans barn.
He could have got you to heaven.
Han kunde fått dig till himmelen.
By just forgiving you of your sins.
Bara vid att tillge dig dina synder. Och gjenløse dig.
That would have got you to heaven.
Det ville gjort sånn at du kom til himmelen.
But it would not have built a family business.
Men det vil ikke bygget en familievirksomhet. Ser du det?
Repeat after me.
Gjenta etter meg.
Now, if you're a son of God, you say I'm a son of God. But if you're a daughter of God, you say I'm a daughter.
Hvis du er en sønn av Gud, så sier du at du er en sønn av Gud. Og hvis du er en datter av Gud, så sier du at du er en datter av Gud.
Sit up straight.
Sitt deg opp.
About to wrap up.
Nå skal vi snart avslutte.
Say I.
Si jeg.
Am a son of God.
En sønn av Gud.
You women say I.
Dere kvinner sier jeg.
Am a daughter of God.
En av Guds datter.
And I promote the family business.
Og jeg driver familiens virksomhet.
I have the nature.
Jeg har en natur.
Of my father.
Min fars natur.
Inside of me.
Inni meg.
I have his characteristics.
Jeg har hans karakteristikker og kjennetegn inni meg.
I have been given his authority.
Jeg har blitt gitt hans autoritet.
And I live in that authority.
Og jeg lever i den autoriteten.
And I walk in that authority.
Og jeg vandrer i den autoriteten.
And I can minister in that authority.
Og jeg kan betjene i den autoriteten.
And expand the family business.
Og utvide familiens virksomhet.
Because I.
Fordi jeg.
Am a son of God.
En Guds sønn.
I.
Jeg.
Am a daughter of God.
En Guds datter.
Understand that?
Förstår du det?
Because if we get a hold of that.
När vi får tak i detta.
It will radically change the way we live our lives and think of ourselves.
Så vil det radikalt forandre måten vi lever våre liv og tenker om oss selv.
Because sons and daughters of God don't have to put up with some things.
For Guds sønner og døtre, de slipper å finne seg i en del ting.
That those who aren't sons and daughters have to put up with.
Som de som ikke er Guds sønner og døtre må finne seg i.
Now we could spend a week or two teaching on this kind of stuff.
Vi kunne brukt en uke eller to å snakke om dette.
We can just get the idea that I'm a son of God or I'm a daughter of God.
Men hvis vi bare forstår dette, at vi er en Guds sønn eller Guds datter.
He has adopted me and made me a child.
Han har adoptert meg og gjort meg til sitt barn.
And that has changed everything.
Og det har forandret alt.
It will change everything.
Det vil forandre alt. Det vil det.
Our Heavenly Father.
Himmelske Far.
Thank you for your word.
Takk for ditt ord.
That turns lights on.
Som skrur lyset på hos folk. Som beveger vår ånd. Og underviser oss ting. Og i kveld ser vi oss selv annerledes enn vi noen gang har sett oss selv. Takk, Hellige
Ånd,
for din trofaste tjeneste iblant oss. Og kjære Gud, takk for denne dyrebare kvinnen som disse menneskene kaller sin pastor, og som du har sagt at vi skal vise ære til i kveld. Amen. Amen. Gud velsigne dere. Takk for privilegiet.